I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's good, internet? I know it's been a while, but we're back, baby. If you need a refresher on what the Mobile Syrup podcast / Syrupcast is, it's a mobile podcast by Mobile Syrup, Canada's largest independent tech website, in which we look back at the week that was in Canadian telecom and tech news. I'm your host, Igor Bonifacic. This week, I'm joined by Mobile Syrup managing editor, Patrick O'Rourke. Patrick.
What's up, Igor?
We just spent, I'd say 45 minutes trying to figure out our podcast setup. But we figured it out.
I think we got it. We grew as people. We learned a new skill.
We did. We also put in place a new system, which hopefully means the podcast will be very consistent from now on.
That's the plan.
I'm excited for that. Last but certainly not least, we also have Dean Daly. Dean, how are you?
I'm good, and thanks for having me, Igor.
It is our pleasure to have you. This week, we'll be talking about MWC. It just happened last week, concluded. There were many phones, many notches, many foldable phones, some conspiracy theories, one might say. We'll touch on the conspiracies, because if there's one thing that we enjoy at Mobile Syrup, Pat, it's leak drama. Am I right?
I love leaks, especially about the P30.
Yes.
The phone that we've seen. In almost all of its entirety, but that
does not exist yet,
officially.
And then we'll also, it's S10 day tomorrow. Pat plans to have his review up, in which he will probably recommend the phone, but who knows, he might not.
No, there's no embargo, right? So I can talk pretty openly about it.
It's going to be a mystery until the podcast, sorry.
Until the second half of the podcast.
Until the second half of the podcast. It could be terrible. We don't know. We just don't know. All right, so Dean, you were at MWC. I guess the best place, as usual, to start is, how was it? What was your experience like? What did you see? What did you not see? I think that's the better question.
So MWC is quite crazy. I enjoyed it. I was the only one there from Mobile Syrup, so it was a lot of work. But it was a fun experience, and I saw so many different phones, and I saw a foldable phone here and there. I saw phones of two screens, a phone completely encased behind glass, which was just the screen, the OnePlus 5G, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there another phone that was behind glass too that you saw?
That was the foldable phone, the Mate X.
Then
I saw it afterwards. Saw some laptops. Saw like this crazy spider thing that was like a robotic spider that worked with 5G and was owned by Ericsson. There was tons of crazy things there. And I would go back again, just not for one day. I was only there for one day.
But that's because a lot of the stuff for us happens before the show, right?
For sure.
The press conferences and keynotes.
Yeah, I got some embargoes, hands-ons, some like conferences, as Pat just said. Almost all of them happened before MWC actually starts, so I got to see some of those. But the actual show floor... it's just so there's like 7 buildings you have to go through to completely see everything, and there is no like way I could have completely see the whole thing, everything in all one day.
If you think that's big, CES is like 6 times the size. Blew my mind, the size of CES.
Yeah, that's mind blowing. That was the biggest conference I've ever been to, and I can't wait to eventually go to CES one day.
Anyway. What do you two think? I guess starting with you, Pat, and then we'll go. Actually, Dean, let's start with you. What do you think was the biggest announcement out of MWC?
So I would have to say the biggest announcement, it's not my favorite announcement, but the biggest one is definitely the Mate X, because...
You sure it wasn't the G8?
No. But it was definitely the Mate X, because it was a $3,000 foldable phone with 5G that... Nothing can top that in terms of It's like a huge phone announcement.
Yeah, so I think that is in some sense the elephant in the room, right, Pat? So I suppose we should start with that. Foldable devices. Here's my question for you. Here to stay or a fad like 3D TVs?
So I think, I mean, every time someone asks me about, like, how I feel about the foldable devices that were revealed, so I think they're really cool. I think they're going to come with a number of compromises, particularly the Galaxy Fold, Samsung's foldable phone.
That crease. Can't wait to see that crease make it bigger, make it more pronounced. Continue, yes.
I don't think they're a fad per se, but I do think it's the same thing as when a new television technology comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So people made a big deal at CES about LG's foldable TV. It kind of goes into this box and it folds up.
Mm-hmm.
And people made a big deal about the fact that this isn't mysterious technology that's coming in the future. This will be out very soon.
Mm-hmm.
People will be able to buy it. But I think the one thing that a lot of people missed is that it's going to cost like 10 grand, 15 grand, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the big things to note about foldable phones is that, yes, they're going to exist. Yes, I totally think we should be happy that there are devices with foldable screens, even with the compromises in mind, but they are going to cost a crazy amount of money for the foreseeable future. Right.
So the question I have for you, Dean, is just a follow-up question to that is, in the presentation, because you were at the presentation, right? Do you think it was Richard Yu of Huawei doing it? Do you think Huawei made a compelling argument for why you need or want or should want a foldable phone in your life? You know, because I think that's the big thing is that the use case hasn't been like, oh yes, this is like not even Samsung. Samsung was like, you can multitask three apps at the same time. It is mind-blowing.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a reason for it to exist yet, other than it's cool.
Which is completely true, and even for the Mate X, which in my opinion was a little more preferable than the Samsung phone, and only because when you fold the Samsung cover phone, like, it only has a 4.5 inch screen, I believe, on the front,
mm-hmm.
whereas the Mate X has the full 6. It's like two phones basically. You have the 6.6 inch phone on the front, and then when you unfold it, you have an 8 inch tablet. Which is very cool. I don't think anyone needs that right now. Even after watching the presentation, it wasn't something I ever want in my life. Maybe in, say, a few years when they can lower, like, the price is lower and the technology is more developed,
mm-hmm.
it's something that is more, like, something more people would want. It's something that people would feel like, I actually desire this phone. But now, now with these price tags reaching over $3,000, it's not worth it because mm-hmm. it doesn't.
Well, it does nothing that your phone already doesn't.
Exactly. And
for much less money.
Yeah. But
that doesn't change the fact that I want one.
Yeah. Like, no, like, for me, I personally do not want one. I think that I never liked tablets in the first place. And my phone screens are big enough. One of my phones I use has a 6.5 inch display, I think. And
which one's that?
Oh, I don't want to say because I might be wrong.
Because you have the wrong size.
I think the size might be wrong. I think the
size doesn't matter. So yeah, just continue.
The Note 9 has a big 6.4 maybe, but it's it's unnecessary. All these foldable phones right now, at least. TCL showed us their foldable display. They had it wasn't on an actual phone. Like, it was on a prototype device. But they're like, hey, no one will want this if we release it right now because it will be too expensive. So we're going to wait until 2020 so we can lower the price a bit and then we'll launch it, which is something I kind of admired because they weren't trying to be the first to launch something. They were trying to want people to actually buy their phones, right?
So, yeah. So I think that was interesting because I think, you know, Richard Yu, I don't know what he said of the Galaxy Fold, but he essentially intimated that it was bad.
Yes.
Right? think what is more impressive about the Galaxy Fold is that it's $2,000 as opposed to, this is Canadian, right? I believe it's it's 1980 American, right?
Yes.
So about 2,400 Canadian, right?
Roughly, yeah.
And then what is the American price of the Mate X? It's like,
I want to say 299. I have to check it.
Whatever the price, right? It is significantly more expensive than Galaxy Fold, right? And I think from that perspective, it is way more, the Galaxy Fold is way more impressive, right? Like, it is, yes, it is $2,000, but you know, the difference between $2,000 American and...
So it's 2,600 American is the Mate X.
2,600, right? Like, $600 gap is, that's like an entire another phone.
We also don't know if it's coming here, right? The Mate X, or do we know? They both are coming.
So the Mate X, so Huawei wants to launch the Mate X in Canada, but it only comes in 5G. There's no 4G model. Like,
they'll just release it here and like future proof.
Exactly. If as long as carriers are okay with it, because carriers may not want to launch a 5G phone without.
Just wouldn't advertise that it's 5G. Would be my assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to be clear, it has a multi-mode modem, so it can 100%. Do both LTE and 5G.
But we know for sure that they're both coming, especially the Galaxy Fold.
Yes, especially the Galaxy
Fold. We just don't know when. I think the last thing Samsung told me was that they're going to announce stuff later this month regarding when it's coming.
So I think the most interesting thing, though, about these phones is that they didn't let anyone touch them, right? So you just got to see them.
So I got really close to one. I could have probably tried to sneak a touch, but I might have gotten yelled at because I was with a few Huawei execs who had the phone in their hands, and they were letting us take pictures and try to get really close as we can, but we weren't allowed to touch it. So I wasn't allowed to actually hold it, or I couldn't do it hands-on because my hands were never on the device.
You were allowed to do an eyes-on.
Yeah, basically. And it looks nice, but I don't know how it feels, and I really want to. Like, I feel like this, especially, I feel like it might be a little heavier, and it might be, like, it won't feel as premium as other devices because of the the glass they have to use.
Well, it isn't glass, it's plastic,
Yeah, the plastic they have to use on the display. Will not feel like our phones, the premium phones we're used to.
One of the things that I'm interested in is what the actual fold portion looks like, right? Because I got to use the Royale, the Flex Pi, yes, the Royale Flex Pi. And one of the things that I noted about it was that the actual fold portion of the screen looked like crap. Mm-hmm. Like, it looked all crunchy and weird, and I expect it may look better with these two other devices because they're obviously from more notable, reputable manufacturers, but I think there's still going to be issues with that fold.
So from the looks of it, and I saw it fold maybe at most 10 times, but from the looks of it, it looked fine, the folded portion, but Huawei says it will last you, but I want to test it out to see how many times can I really fold this phone for the display when it's unfolded to not have any creases.
What happens in cold weather, too? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I'm not saying phones freeze, but they get cold and you're folding plastic. Like, I wonder what happens in that situation.
Yeah.
I mean, so certainly there was a very interesting article in Wired where it was talking to Corning, which is the maker of Gorilla Glass, right? And they're like, trust us, we've been working on this problem for a while.
Okay, so there, right? There are people that are aware that Canada is cold.
Well, no, specifically, you know, they're like, we're trying to adapt glass to these phones, right? Because glass, it doesn't scratch as easily. It doesn't crease is the big thing, right? And I think what you're going to see with these phones is maybe there's going to be a couple of early adopters who buy it, but I feel like they're going to be really disappointed with them because, one, the screen is going to deform, but two, when they start using that software, and I think that was the second part of why they didn't let you try it. They're like, oh, it's just EMUI. You've seen this before on other phones, right? But when it, the OS starts to, freak out because it's,
Well, that was another thing with the FlexPi, right? That was my big observation. Was like, okay, this is super cool. I love that this exists. But practically using it, just, I opened up, I don't remember, it was a browser, and I unfolded the phone, and it just freaked out. Like, it... it couldn't expand to the right size, mm-hmm. and then it was in the wrong orientation, and then it crashed.
So yeah. Like, yeah. And it's quite interesting, you know, like that these manufacturers, like Google has said, we're going to figure this out, right? It's going to come with Android, 9, yeah? Or it's 10, excuse me.
10, yeah.
They just needed to wait a couple months.
Yeah. Which is what, like, again, this is what I really liked about TCL. Like, they just decided they're going to wait. Like, yeah. Why launch something that's not, like, we're not ready to launch it yet?
You know, there is something to be said about, like, getting this out to consumers and, like, really, like, getting feedback, right? Because there's only some, like, I feel like everyone at Samsung is, like, a yes man. They're like, is this a good idea? Yes. Yeah,
well, there's also, like, a race, sort of like an arms race to it, too, right? Like, they don't want to be caught left behind. Huawei reveals a foldable phone. Samsung doesn't. People start mm-hmm. asking, like, is Samsung not the king of Android smartphones anymore? Yeah. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, certainly probably Samsung feels the pressure at this point.
There's a perception thing going
especially
on.
Especially since Huawei, I believe, has made it to the second most... Mm-hmm.
High shipments.
Yeah, and out of all the phones, like, it's above Apple now. So I feel like those two are especially trying to race things first. Like Huawei launched their P20 last year with three cameras, but Samsung launched an A50 or A something with four cameras. Now they're trying to do foldable phones, and I can't wait to see what's next.
I want a foldable phone with 12 cameras.
Mm-hmm. Which is... The idea of too many cameras really hits a note, especially after, like, I saw the Nokia PureView 9.
Did you get to try it? Did you try the camera?
Yeah, I did a bit of a hands-on on that. And five cameras, it seems unnecessary, but it did some pretty cool things software-wise. After you take the pictures, you can adjust a lot of depth stuff. It was pretty cool. But, yeah. Foldable phones. Those are some crazy stuff.
So was there anything else, I mean, besides foldable phones, were there any big trends you noticed?
Trend-wise, 5G. Everyone was wanting to do something with 5G, like LG.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
We launched their V50 5G. Samsung had their 5G phone there as well. I didn't get to see it, but they had it there as well. Huawei launching their 5G phone.
It just looks like an S10, I think. Their 5G one, like a thicker S10. One, yeah, I haven't seen it either. I've just seen renders.
Oh, it's just like an S10 variant.
Yeah, it's an S10. Yeah.
I think it's bigger. Though.
It's 6.7 inches, yeah, because it needs to be bigger to fit these 5G modems.
Just tape it onto the back with like duct tape.
Yes. Also, not just like it needs a bigger battery because it has to power two modems.
Yeah.
And there's more heat, which is, I think, with the V50, they made a big point about, like, it has a heat pipe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so was there anything particularly in 5G that you wanted to mention that you saw there?
So Ericsson took me through some 5G stuff. So they're not 5G phone-wise, but they took me in to see some of their 5G. They had a whole section dedicated to 5G. They had 5G running through that section. Mm-hmm. As soon as you leave the section, there is no more 5G or their Wi-Fi or anything anymore, but they had some really cool things. Like, they showed me a demo of like a me speaking to a hologram. Like, so say like communication wise. So I had a headset on, mm-hmm. a VR headset on, and I was talking to someone who was across the room, and they actually only used Wi-Fi for that. But they were like, hey, this is what 5G can do. Mm-hmm. And they showed me all these different things with 5G. It was very cool.
I think that's pretty commonplace now. Like, when I was at CES, Intel had a lot of stuff like that, like VR demos that were running off like a closed 5G thing.
Yeah.
Just in the convention center.
It's been a while since we've recorded our last podcast. But if you go back into the archives, I think Dan and I joke about this. At Qualcomm, there was this slide at the Qualcomm Tech Summit. There was like use cases 4 5G.
Yeah. So this is from the Huawei. The Hawaii.
Yeah, there was GhostDad, and essentially it was like, oh, you can use 5G to teleconference to a telegraph or to a to holograph, excuse me. And it was an army dad who looked like, because he looked like a Star Wars ghost, it was like, oh, it's a ghost. They're talking to a ghost.
That's great.
Right?
Yeah.
I will try to dig it up for the show notes because it's just excellent.
Well, I think what a lot of this stems from is just the simple fact that, like, okay, 5G is coming, Canada 2020, the US sort of now in some ways.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, we don't know the use cases
for 5G. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. We don't know what it's going to be used for. So all these companies are spitballing, trying to come up with a reason for 5G to exist.
Right, and, you know, like, a lot of it is, like, they're trying to sell carriers, like, not that they need to sell Rogers, Bell, and Telus because they've clearly already bought the Kool-Aid, right? Like, but it is a big investment for everyone who wants to take part in it, right? You know, there's a lot of infrastructure to build out.
I had an interview with Ericsson and Nokia, and the most interesting thing they had with about 5G to me was about gaming, how 5G can be utilized in gaming, and how instead of I watch professional esports. I watch the Overwatch League. And they were saying how you'd be able to control exactly what view you'd watch instead of having to, like, use the... So, for example, if I am watching a character fight someone else, like, I could switch to different perspectives and be able to do that with low latency, do that very quickly, not have to... Usually it's the people who control the Watch League who...
Like the broadcasters.
Yeah, it's usually the broadcasters, thank you, who are controlling that. But with that, with 5G, you'll be able to do it yourselves, which is kind of interesting. It's weird that they both actually came to that. They both mentioned the same thing. I've heard that from other people too, where 5G seems like a big selling point of 5G is entertainment. Like, you'll be able to do a lot more things entertainment-wise with 5G. So imagine cooking up a camera to a basketball player, basically, and then watching them shoot, like, when they're in a game, watching it from their point of view instead of from the overhead.
Yeah, and I think part of that is just the entertainment angle is really easy to sell to people, 100%. Right? Where it's like GhostDad is a difficult concept to sell
to people. It's a practical thing. Like,
it's a practical thing, and it's also... One of the big things with LTE was that, hey, like, you could start watching Netflix on your smartphone, right?
Yeah.
Well, like it seems like so, like, well, of course, like, you could do that, right? But, like, you kind of have to step out of this current moment we live in, right? Go back, like, you know, when did the first LTE phone? Like, remember when the iPhone 3G... was a big thing, right? It was an HTC phone.
It was
phone.
HTC.
I can't remember.
Evo 4G, I think it was. Something in 2008 or 9 or something like that.
3G was very much for picture messaging.
Right.
That was, like, the revolutionary thing back then.
There was the... I mean, we didn't see that evolution with... I mean, we did in some sense, but not with the iPhone, because the first iPhone did not come to Canada, right?
Yes.
You had the iPhone, which was on Edge, then the iPhone 3G, and that was like, dear God, this phone is actually usable, right?
We live in the future.
We live in the future. And then, you know, the iPhone got 4G. So it's really hard from this moment in time, because our internet speeds are so fast at this point, right? To really appreciate 5G.
5G, the exclusive purpose, is streaming 5K porn. That's the purpose that no one has come up with
there
yet,
you,
I think.
There you have it.
That's kind of the most interesting thing about... all these 5G demos they had, is that the quality of the VR and all that stuff looked really bad. So it was cool that you can be in all these different perspectives, but it was all in, like, 720p or 480.
It's all stuff that would, like, typically run off Wi-Fi, right? And they're just switching over to this, like, closed 5G network that they've put together for this demonstration purpose.
Yeah.
So it's not like the actual products that they're using the 5G connection for are like way in the future or anything, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But apparently some of, like, 4K isn't ready for 5G, and I've heard that a few times, and I don't really understand why that's the case, but that's something we should probably look into. Like,
I imagine a lot of it is, like,
compression.
Do carriers want to stream 4K video? They're already, like, really upset when, you know, like, Anyway, that's a discussion for another. Why don't we shift gears? Dean, feel free to jump in with your own questions while we interrogate Patrick about the S10. Now is the moment of truth. Patrick can talk about the S10.
That's what I'm here for.
Pat, overall, what were your impressions of the S10?
It's a good phone.
You have it. We can stop the podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone.
That's more or less what my review says that I'm still working on. I think I'm going to give you the first draft shortly after this podcast.
I would say I'm looking forward to it, but actually not. I am.
it's quite long.
You won't be after you see it.
it's a really good phone. I found very few issues with it. The performance is great. I think the Infinity O notch is really unique. It gives the S series an identity for the first time in a while.
Great wallpapers.
Sick wallpapers, yeah, too.
I like the Bender one.
I'm currently using this awesome one where it's just an iPhone XS Max turned on the side.
Yes.
As the camera notch. There's very few issues with it, right? Like, I think this phone is the perfect embodiment of where high-end Android devices are right now. They're really, really good. There's very few issues with them. Maybe there's a few things that, like, the phone could have done better. For instance, low light performance isn't the greatest, mm-hmm. particularly if you compare it to the Pixel 3 with night sight. I have a comparison shot in my review. The camera still creates very saturated, fake-looking images that mm-hmm. look great. So it really comes down to what you want out of a picture.
Mm-hmm.
But it's expensive, right? Mm-hmm. That's the big drawback, is that it is extremely
cheaper than that Galaxy Fold.
Yeah, okay. It's cheaper than a foldable phone.
Actually, the top model S10 with 1 gigabyte of RAM and
16 gigabytes of RAM.
Sorry,
and 1 terabyte.
Yeah, 1 terabyte. That's the plus,
right? The ceramic one.
Yeah, the ceramic plus. That's like $2,500 Canadian, outright. So, like a Fold.
There you go.
Yeah, like that was the thing that I kind of struggled with the review, is like there's nothing really wrong with this phone. Like, it's great. It's good. There's other things that I can nitpick about, where, like, I'm not a big fan of the curved edges. I never have been when it comes to the Galaxy S series. I think they're useless. Dean will disagree with me. And when I'm watching video or something like that, I often end up with false presses. Like, I'll be watching YouTube, I'll turn the phone into landscape, and the video will disappear, and I'll be like, what the hell? Why is this happening? Mm-hmm. It's because my palm touched the side. And it stopped the video.
I think, so it's interesting you mentioned that, and I think it really speaks to why we're seeing these foldable phones, right? Because it's like, all phones are good now, right? So how do you differentiate them? You create a more expensive phone.
Yeah. But I do think, more so than any Samsung device released in the last little bit, I think that the S10 definitely has more of an identity, just because of that notch. Like,
mm-hmm.
people will be able to instantly identify that this is the S10 as soon as they see it because of that. Mm-hmm. And not a notch, like the Infinity O. Anti-notch is what people are calling it. I think I referred to it as that a couple times. And then there's also the S10e, which I thought was a pretty interesting device. It's very much Samsung's answer to the iPhone XR. It's the Samsung S10 for everybody, right? But it has a few drawbacks. Like, it doesn't have the in-display fingerprint sensor, which I can talk about that in a little bit. I didn't have a great experience with it at first, but then it kind of worked itself out. But the thing with the S10e is the fact that it's expensive. Still, mm-hmm. it's $1,019. Like, that's a lot of money for a phone that Samsung is still positioning as entry level, quote unquote, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could make the same argument about the XR, which was one of my favorite phones of last year. So yeah, even entry level high end devices, because Samsung obviously sells other entry level phones, are quite expensive.
So what are your thoughts on the hole punch?
I think
the future.
So
better or worse?
I like it more than a notch. I don't think it's any more distracting. I don't think it's really any less distracting. But I do think that it looks cooler.
Mm-hmm.
The cutout's super crisp. There's no screen degradation around the actual. The cameras, whether it's the S10 with one front-facing camera or the S10 Plus with two front-facing cameras. Apps generally just scaled to fit it in. There were a few things that looked a little wonky, like Instagram stories didn't really look great. But I think some of that stuff's gonna
sort itself out
once the phone's released, and
and developers update their app.
Yes, Samsung is working with Instagram to make it look better, like make everything look better on the app. Yeah, which is funny you note that, because even on the Note 9, which I'm using as my primary phone, Instagram like stories look like are really bad because of the edges. It's
So not as bad as Instagram on the iPad, am I right?
Oh man. That's Instagram on the iPad is just a little window for anyone who doesn't know that. Oh, okay. There is no native Instagram iPad app.
Yeah, so it's basically the iPhone app on the iPad screen.
But I don't know. Generally, I really like the Infinity O. I don't have any issues with it. I think it's cool. I think it's definitely different, which is something that Samsung needed. It gives the phone an identity. The camera's fine. There's no issues with it. Low light performance is a little disappointing in some situations. But overall, it's just like there's nothing really wrong with it beyond the price tag, right? So if you're willing to shell out the money, it's a great phone. But I think something that's worth noting is that you mentioned before off the pod that the S9 got really cheap towards the end of its life cycle, right?
Yeah.
So that could happen again with the S10.
Yeah, so I think, you know, you had mentioned you're not sure if the S10 is going to be the best phone of 2019. And I think what's important to keep in mind is, you know, the S9 was quite a bit cheaper. And Dave 2D of YouTube fame has a great video on why the S9 was a really good phone.
The man that put a MacBook in a freezer.
Yeah.
Dave 2D. I love that video. It's so good.
In any case, if you're in the market for a new phone, wait a couple months. And I think the S10 is going to be really like much more affordable than it is right now. Anyway, now we get to shoutouts. I'm just going to start us off. My shoutout goes to one Tim Apple, formerly known as Tim Cook. He was at the White House yesterday when Donald Trump called him Tim Apple for whatever reason. And in the ultimate subtweet, he changed his Twitter handle to Tim Apple. Good stuff.
That's a good one. So mine goes out to Respawn Entertainment for dropping a Battle Royale game that everybody initially hated and now many people love because they've actually played it. I know a lot of people wanted the developer to release Titanfall 3. That obviously wasn't going to happen, might still happen after Titanfall 2 sort of being a critical success but not a commercial success. But as far as free-to-play games go, Apex Legends really respects the player. It's extremely well-balanced. It takes sort of some gameplay elements from games like Battle Royale, Fortnite, PUBG, and even Overwatch, though I think Dean disagrees with me on that as he's shaking his head at me. But in general, I really like the game. I think it's far better than I expected, and I've put far too much time into it over the last couple of weeks.
My shout out goes to Nintendo. I'm stealing Patrick's Switch Minute because Nintendo and the Pokemon Company revealed Pokemon Sword and Shield, and according to one newspaper in Mexico, Pokemon Gun as well. And I'm very excited. I've seen the trailer for it almost every day since it came out, and I've watched several breakdowns of the trailer and the map.
Sick.
Cool. So once again, thank you for listening to the Mobile Syrup podcast, otherwise known as the Syrupcast. We'll be back next week when we'll probably recap recent CRTC going on. Until then, make sure to follow Mobile Syrup at Mobile Syrup on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pat, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @Patrick_O'Rourke.
You can find me on Twitter at DeanCW Daily.
This time he remembered.
I actually just looked it up.
And it's not because you're a big fan of the CW.
I am not a big fan of the CW.
No. And I'm just at Igor Bonifacic, or known to some people as Ibor Bonachacic. That's me signing off. We'll see you next week. Bye.
See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.